From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kasakwe strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwe in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwe.
Paid up subscriber trying to stick with her late, but she is back. This fantastic filly wins the fifth, Sunbird.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to another five-star edition of the Equine Forum on a massive weekend of thoroughbred racing coast to coast. We'll tell you more about that momentarily. But first of all, welcome to the program. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the bluegrass in Lexington, Kentucky. Happy to have you with us, tuning in coast to coast on Sirius 219, XM Channel 206. All of you tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And of course, everyone streaming us, going out to more than 170 countries this morning at horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with me for the next 2 hours. Flying solo in the studio here is my usual entry mate, the pontiff of the pick four, Jude Feld, is up on the Jersey Shore today. He is there for the Haskell Invitational. We'll hear from him coming up shortly after 8:30 Eastern time. You know, when I say it's a massive weekend of racing, that is not an understatement. From the Adirondack region of Saratoga to the Jersey Shore and Monmouth Park, all the way to the West Coast, where the turf meets the surf at Old Del Mar, grade one races being contested at each of those tracks, and it's a weekend that features, how about this, the return of the Kentucky Derby winner, the return of the Preakness winner, an undefeated three-year-old who many people may not even be familiar with at this point, but you might be after tomorrow. It features the return of a local hero, and oh, by the way, a couple of champions back in action this weekend too. The weather's supposed to be pretty good, from what I understand, all over the country. We'll check in with Jude, as I mentioned, shortly after 8:30, get an update on what's happening at Monmouth Park. But certainly at Saratoga, it is gorgeous today. And you would expect in the San Diego area at Del Mar, it would be beautiful for the Grade 1 Bing Crosby today and the Grade 1 Clement L. Hirsch tomorrow. Over the course of the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about some of the main storylines. We'll do it with some special guests, including Anthony Bonomo, who is the owner of Always Dreaming, the Derby winner, who goes postward today in the Jim Dandy at Saratoga. That's a race you're going to hear with us this afternoon. You can tune in beginning at 4:30 Eastern time. You'll hear that race and several other graded stakes races, including the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt. Anthony Stabile will have the coverage along with Mike Beer from the Daily Racing Forum. So Bonomo will come up at 8:15 Eastern. Stay tuned for that interview. I mentioned Jude, 8:37 Eastern time. You'll hear from Justin Nicholson around 9 o'clock this morning. Justin going to join us from Saratoga as well. He'll be positioned with the Big A on site, trackside. Justin with EquestriCon, that event coming up later this month. Of course, we are the official radio partner of EquestriCon. Happy to do that and happy to hear from Justin, 9 o'clock Eastern. At 9:20 Eastern, you're going to hear from Craig Dado from Del Mar, and he's going to tell you, well, at least he'll try to tell you, what happened with Arrowgate last weekend and that very, very disappointing performance in the San Diego, finishing fourth at odds of 1 to 20. Somewhat inexplicable, really. Craig will try to come up with a reason for that debacle, but he'll also tell you about what's coming up this weekend. He'll tell you about the preparations that are being made at Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup in November. That should be a lot of fun. Again, that's 9:20 Eastern. And then at the end of the show, you're going to hear from trainers Chad Brown, you'll hear from Graham Motion, and you'll hear from Ian Wilkes. All those trainers going to be very busy this weekend with their three-year-olds going to the post in these major stakes races. Last weekend, we threw out a poll question the poll question at HRN on Twitter. You can weigh in every single week here on the program. But last weekend's was, is Arrowgate the greatest horse of all time? And that was before the San Diego, of course. Well, most of HRN Nation came in and voted, no, he is not the greatest horse of all time. And it appears, after that performance last week, now the jury's still out, obviously, still a lot of racing left to go, but it appears after that performance that maybe HRN Nation was right, and this is not the greatest horse that we have ever seen. Although, all of the greats, if you go back and look at their resumes, they've all stubbed their toe at some point, and they've all had a performance that was subpar at some point. Secretariat, Man of War, they've all done it. So that was the poll question last week. This week, I want to ask you, considering Arrowgate was 1-20 and on paper looked unbeatable in that race, what is the greatest upset in thoroughbred racing history in your opinion? That's our poll question today. What is the greatest upset? Maybe it is Arrowgate. Maybe it was last week's San Diego. But in your opinion, what is the greatest upset in the history of thoroughbred racing? That's the poll question. You can weigh in throughout the program. I'll try to get to some of those responses as we move through the show this morning at HRN on Twitter. You can also do it on our Facebook page, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Well, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, as I mentioned, is in Saratoga. He is there to bring you that exclusive coverage of the Jim Dandy this afternoon, part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series, all presented by visitbarbados.org. Big A, I hear it's a pretty nice day in upstate New York.
Baron, it is beautiful here at the spa this morning. Sun starting to fight through the morning clouds. Temperatures right around 62, 63 degrees right now. Supposed to get into the 70s, lower to middle 70s. A little bit of a breeze today. Sunny sky. Supposed to be a beautiful, beautiful day for racing. And what better backdrop for a rematch between the Kentucky Derby winner and the Preakness winner than historic Saratoga Racecourse, the graveyard of champions. Maybe it would have been more fitting if Arrowgate got beat here last Saturday.
Yeah, you know, that would have made more sense anyways. Is that, Anthony, the greatest upset in thoroughbred racing history?
I think it is.
Really?
I do. I don't think, and I was one of those who said that he was the greatest racehorse of all time.
Feel that way?
I'm not ready to back away from that statement because they all did stub their toe. I mean, Personal Ensign on this level was the only one who never stubbed their toe, right? I'm not going to hold that one race against them. We'll see. Time will tell if that race is what's going to be what he's remembered for, or if we're going to be able to just brush the dirt off the shoulder when all is said and done. I think the latter is going to hold true. I think he's going to run rampant through this division the rest of the way. But you could have knocked me over with a feather or a sneeze, and that's kind of hard to do, Baron. You know that. It was almost like I was waiting for the real race to start. I was like, oh, okay, that was fun. That was a simulation. All right, when are we going to get this thing underway? So, yeah, I was stunned, and I can't think of – I mean, a four-horse field, four rivals, one horse loses his irons coming out of the gate. You're left with three horses in front of you over a track you won at. You're the all-conquering. You've won every cup there is to win, and you run that race. We'll never know what happened in that Sandy. I am convinced we'll never know what happened last Saturday.
Well, what happened was he got beat. And he ran horribly. That's the bottom line. That's what happened. Bob Baffert came out afterwards, said, well, we laid an egg. It's a bit of a head-scratcher. It is what it is. I mean, he has to rebound now, and if he goes to the Pacific Classic on August 19th, we'll be there to cover that race. We'll see if he can rebound and come back to being the Arrowgate that we've all become accustomed to seeing. And if that's the case, if he dominates the Pacific Classic, then I think a lot of people are going to say, okay, we'll give him a pass for that one race. Now he has to prove himself one more time when he goes postward. Maybe it's the Breeders' Cup. Maybe he'll get one more start in the Awesome again. Who knows what that schedule will look like. But we'll see. One step at a time now for Arrowgate. We'll see if he can rebound in his next start. A horse that has proven that he can really run, a couple of them as a matter of fact, are going to be part of your coverage this afternoon beginning at 4:30 Eastern. The Grade 2 Jim Dandy, as you mentioned, features the rematch between the Derby winner Always Dreaming, the Preakness winner Cloud Computing. Boy, that's a good one. Only five horses, but that's a good one, Big A.
Yeah, you don't need more when you have the Derby winner and the Preakness winner. First time, Barron, since 1991 when Kentucky Derby winner Strike the Gold and Preakness slash Belmont winner Hansel duked it out here in the Traverse. First time the Derby and Preakness winner are going to meet up at the old Spa in over 25 years. So another little storyline to add to one that you don't really need any more narratives. You got the Derby winner and the Preakness winner, and the Belmont winner is in the barn awaiting the Midsummer Derby. So, yeah, they both accounted themselves very, very well in the spring. And we'll see now with the three months or so that they've had between starts and, you know, a development and maturity time, maturity level. We'll see what we're in store for this afternoon here at the Spa.
All right, well, again, your coverage kicks off 4:30 Eastern. That will air on Sirius 132 XM 201. Keep that in mind. That's a channel change for this afternoon. Sirius 132 XM 201 is where you'll find our coverage of the Jim Dandy, which also includes the AG Vanderbilt and the Grade 2 Bowling Green. So you won't want to miss that. Sirius 132 XM 201, streaming worldwide on our website, of course, on your computer or mobile device at horseracingradio.net. Big A, we'll check back in with you in just a few minutes. You're going to be joined by Anthony Bonomo, who is one of the owners involved with the Derby winner, Always Dreaming. Looking forward to that interview.
Yeah, he's on site and ready to roll.
All right, we'll get back to you here in just a couple of minutes after our first commercial break. Again, Anthony Bonomo kicks off a very busy couple of hours this morning as we look at racing from Saratoga to Monmouth all the way out to Del Mar. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new Greatest Stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
At Millridge, their focus is always on raising and selling racehorses. Millridge is offering five yearlings at the upcoming Saratoga sale by leading sires Quality Road, Flatter, Kitten's Joy, Street Sense, and More Than Ready, each with a strong dam side providing every opportunity to raise a racehorse. Since 2005, Milrich has sold 53 yearlings at the Saratoga sale with 60% winners. 7.5% are Grade 1 or Grade 2 winners, 16% graded placed, and 24% stakes placed. Learn more by visiting Milrich.com.
This is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And it is Always Dreaming in front, Always Dreaming with Battle of Midway a length and a half behind as they come into the final furlong. Looking at Lee is making a bid now through on the inside up into second. Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead of 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby. It was Looking at Lee second, followed by Battle of Midway and Classic Empire. The final time was 2 minutes 3.59 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, is on location at Monmouth. We're going to hear from him in just a little bit as he gets you set for the Haskell Invitational coming up tomorrow. A win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic Division. Larry Colmus with the call of that special moment on the first Saturday in May. Always Dreaming, fulfilling the dream of so many of his owners and connections when he romped home for trainer Todd Pletcher to win that run for the Roses. It was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You're going to hear from the owners of Always Dreaming, Anthony Bonomo, and, by the way, Vinny Viola, both standing by with the Big A at Saratoga. We'll get to them momentarily right after we do remind you that the Coolmore Stallions are once again well represented in the graded stakes at Saratoga this weekend. L. Deal, a son of Coolmore America Stallion Munnings, and Spartiatus, a son of Scat Daddy, both go to the post in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt later today. L. Deal is one of, how about this, 22 stakes winners from Munnings from his first three crops. Looking at Lucky, well, he's well represented today too with Giuseppe the Great in the Grade 2 Jim Dandy. And speaking of the Jim Dandy, 2011 Jim Dandy and Travers winner Stay Thirsty will be represented by his first crop son, I should say, that's Colefront in the Grade 2 Amsterdam, a $575,000 two-year-old purchase. Colefront is unbeaten in two starts and is the morning line favorite for that Grade 2 race. To learn more, simply visit coolmore.com. Well, Big A, if you can't tell, it's a massive day of racing there in Saratoga. We touched on it in the first segment, and you are standing by with a couple of big-time guests, my friend.
I am, Baron. And you know what's even better about having the two guests I have? Not only do they own the Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, but they're a couple of Brooklyn boys. So this Italian who feels a little out of water sometimes up here at the spa has got a little taste of home here. Anthony Bonomo, Vinny Viola, Brooklyn boys, and St. Elias, respectively. Guys, thanks for joining me this morning.
Pleasure to be here, man.
It's great. They travel in pairs. It was only supposed to be Anthony. Anthony shows up with Vinny, his son Anthony. Richie Migliori was driving around. The only thing missing here is a box of cannolis.
We had those already.
You find them up here?
You know what? There is a good pastry shop up here, Bella Napoli. Really good.
All right.
But I'm trying to. Vinny's got me on a diet, so I got to really watch what I'm doing.
A half a sandwich diet? What kind of diet is it?
Yeah, no, controlled diet.
Well, he's a Kentucky Derby winning owner now. He's got to. We got to watch all our bonds. We interrupted you. When we first came on the air, you said you were reliving the moment as little. You don't have headphones on. Anthony does. But we were playing the Always Dreaming rejoin for the Kentucky Derby win, and you were actually reliving the moment. All right, we're having a problem. We're having a problem with your mic for some reason.
I'll give Vinny mine because he should. What we do a lot is Vinny and I knowing each other for such a long time. We'll be riding together at something. And what pops up is, and Vinny does this more than I do, is say, what are you thinking about? And most times, what I'm thinking about, he's thinking about, which is kind of weird. But we have a lot of fun with that, yeah. You know?
So he caught me daydreaming about when he crossed the finish line. I don't know if you guys could hear that. But.
Yeah, it was. You know what? It's a special moment. It's a special moment today. It was a special moment then. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of special moments. And, you know, to do it together, the friendship we've had over the years, it's it doesn't get old. It doesn't get old. But, you know, today's another great race day, right? And hopefully Dreamin' will run like he's run before. And then after that, I'm sure we'll celebrate with a cup of black coffee or, you know, something like that.
How is he coming into the race, and how are you guys feeling about his chances today? You know, obviously disappointing in the Preakness, decide not to go on to the Belmont Stakes. Todd's one of the best at getting the horse ready for a pinpointed target, and, you know, your New York guys, I'm sure that the Jim Dandy and Travers were the focal point, not a race like the Haskell. How's he coming into this race today?
I think he's been training superb. He looks great. You know, Todd gets his horses ready. I think he looked great this morning. Vinny and I watched him get his new shoes for the race today. So I think, you know, look, you race, you win, you lose, things happen. But, you know, I think his form is great. I think he looks good. I think he's prepared. You know, the jocks, this is a jocks race today, I think. You know, being a small field, sometimes people think a small field is great. And I particularly think it's good, but you got very little room for error in a very small field. So, you know, I think we like where we are, and, you know, hopefully he will.
Talking with Anthony Bonomo, one of the owners of Kentucky Derby winner, Always Dreaming. We're going to hand the mic off to Vinny Viola in just a couple of minutes. Saw you down at the Preakness when things were over. Saw you the night before, saw you the night after. Mm-hmm. A testament to your character, there was not much of a change in your demeanor. I'm assuming that's because they can never take that Kentucky Derby away from you.
You know, you got to realize where you are. I mean, we just won the Kentucky Derby. Of course, coming off that win, your hopes are you win all three. But you know how hard it is. I was telling Vinny this morning, I didn't realize how tough it is and how much those horses that win all three, how tough a job it is. But, you know, we had high hopes going into the races. Then, you know, of course, I got to say, of course you're a little disappointed because you want to win. Nobody's in his business to come in second. But then you realize what you've accomplished and that it's not over. You know, the great thing about horse racing is your record doesn't matter that much. It's what you've done the race before. So, you know, him having, you know, he ran a tremendous Florida Derby. He ran a tremendous Kentucky Derby. I just think the 2 weeks wasn't enough for him to recover. And you know, the Preakness, I mean, he ran faster the first six furlongs in that race than he did in the Kentucky Derby because he was on a lead. Same times, but a different, you know, he was in the front. So, but, you know, how, of course, your emotion. We're winners. I mean, we come from Brooklyn. You want to win in skateboarding. You want to win in, what was that game, Benny? Skelzy. Yeah. You know, any game you play in the street, you don't want to come in second. It's about your pride.
Stickball.
Yeah, everything. You know, we're great friends, but I wanted to beat him every moment that we played something and vice versa. But when the game was over, you know, we went and eat a sandwich or whatever. So I think it's a natural thing to be a little disappointed. I feel bad for the horse. I really felt bad for the horse because of how hard he'd been running and what he'd been doing for him to lose. And, you know, a lot of people think he, you know, he ran eighth, he was bad. Johnny knew coming around the turn that he didn't have it. And credit to Johnny, yeah, you could bang him and whip him and try and get third or fourth, but Johnny took hold of him. So I don't look at where he finished as an indication of what he did.
You saved him for another day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these things are so precious. And you have to, you know, be smart enough to say if it's not there, it's not there. You wrap them up and you go on. So, you know, we're hopeful today. Are we thinking about second place? Absolutely not. But, you know, we're going to hope the horse does what he does, Johnny does what he does, and good fortune comes our way, and we're on top.
All right. Well, Ann, thank you very much for coming by. Mr. Viola, Anthony talking about the short field and how sometimes, you know, the short fields could be a little trickier than the bigger fields.
Yeah.
You got a horse in there today in Pavel, who just has a maiden win at California Speeds coming over. He was very fast in his debut. Would you mind having a little bit of a target today? Is that the game plan?
Well, I think that's probably our preferred setup, right? I don't think Doug O'Neill shipped across the country, so this horse will learn how to rate today. I think that's our preferred setup. I think he is the speed. He's going to run to form, and it gives us a target. And to me, it feels a little bit like the Florida Derby. Anthony and I were talking about that. And the horse, of course, at the end of it, Johnny's probably got the softest hands, and he knows this horse better than anybody. So pace is going to dictate it. The target will be, I think, our preferred setup. And the horse has just got to do what he loves to do. And he does love what he does. Anthony and I were talking about how this horse is just a stone-cold athlete. And he loves what he does. So he's back. Looks like he's back.
Got to have a little confidence when you have the winningest rider in the history of the Oval on your horse as well.
Phenomenal athlete. John Velasquez is just a... He's a Hall of Fame athlete, and we're very blessed to have him.
So, a couple of Brooklyn guys go to the racetrack when you're kids.
Yep.
Pals for a million years.
Right? Yeah.
Brooklyn and Queens, we don't count years. It's just a million years, right?
It's
everything's
life.
A million.
It's a lifetime.
It's a lifetime, right?
You don't have to see each other for 5 years, 10 years. It's like you walked around the block 5 minutes ago and you were dreaming together. Again, the name of the horse, but so it's... It's just the way we were raised. It's a very interesting, particular. I don't want to get. It's an interesting sociology, an interesting culture. We were talking about it today.
With all the other big moments you've been involved with,
yeah.
In sports, Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
What's winning Derby?
Nothing like this. To win it with your pal. Nothing like it. It's all the fantasies and the dreams and the. Almost imaginations as a kid. I mean, you think about it, right? You grow up in this neighborhood where everyone really does know everyone. You're taught all of the right values and principles to live by the time you're a very, very young age, and some people choose to abide by them and some don't. And the people that choose to abide by them, I think, collect around each other. And what do? You imagine doing great things, especially when we grew up. Sports were just really being introduced to mass media and culture, and television sports. They were partly our parents. How many nights did we watch baseball games and Saturday races and NFL Sundays? And the whole system was built. The whole experience of our life was school, our family, the church, and our sports. And for us, our sports were on the street. Anthony tells a story about a gentleman who taught him how to pitch. Anthony became a Division I-A baseball pitcher at St. John's because of a gentleman named Joe Otati, who lived across the street from me. And it was that kind of a village experience. So what does it mean? It means everything you ever believed in about good and hope, and you put your faith in, it can happen. Stay positive. Abide by the rules, and it works for you. And we're two examples. And anything's possible. We never thought we'd win the Kentucky Derby. But we felt we could win the Kentucky Derby. I don't think it's impacted our lives other than to be more thankful and more contrite and really honestly more thankful. I think we appreciate everything in our lives a little bit more because of this horse.
Well, speaking as a kid from New York City,
yeah.
We've all stood up at the manhole cover.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were Gary Carter.
Exactly.
You guys were
exactly.
Willie Mays.
Yeah,
Mickey
Bobby
Mantle.
Mercer, Mickey Mantle.
Right.
Anthony was a Met fan. Well, here's the other thing, too.
I knew I liked him.
Yeah, no. But here's the other thing, too. I don't think people realize this. You know, when we were kids, we couldn't afford, I don't want to sound improper or, but we couldn't afford to buy a 25-cent Pensy Pinky or Spalding. We only could afford the 10-cent balls, and they didn't bounce as high. So what we would do is we'd bend hangers, walk around the neighborhood, and drop those hangers into the sewers, and they weren't so clean back then. And we'd fish for the Pensy Pinkies that the kids that could afford them, they weren't many, but wouldn't go down the sewers like we did for them, or climb the roofs to find these balls that were hit over the roofs playing stickball. And obviously those were the best days of our lives, because you'd spend half the day, we'd say, let's go look for balls. People don't know what that means unless you've actually went to look for balls in the sewers with your hangers bent into fish hooks and climbing roofs and finding them on top of roofs. So those are just fantastic memories. And by the way, they come in later in life if you choose to be an infantryman, because all those skills, they apply when you're an infantry soldier in the Army. So,
well, go find a Jim Dandy and maybe a three-year-old championship.
Well, thank you, Anthony. Thanks for having us.
All right, thank you guys for coming by so much. This was a great visit. Hopefully we're doing this again in 4 weeks come Traverse time.
Big day. Thanks, pal.
All right.
Thank you,
Anthony Viola, right. Anthony Bonomo, owners of Kentucky Derby winner and morning line favorite for today's Jim Dandy, Always Dreaming. Back to you, Baron.
All right, good stuff, Big A. And, yeah, enjoyable visit indeed, and all the best to those connections. Of course, our good friend Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds, also involved in that partnership group that owns Always Dreaming. Tom Durkin, legendary announcer. He'll be on hand at Saratoga again, but not calling races today. He'll be calling out the name of Always Dreaming and cheering for him throughout the stretch, I'm sure. Boy, what a day of racing at the Spa, and fun stuff there with Anthony Bonomo and with Vinny Viola. All right, it is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And, you know, I tell you every single week, I've been doing it for more than a decade on this program, that if you are in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, whatever it might be, you go see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano. You go see all the great people at the Lexus Store of Lexington. They are horse people. They want to be the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. And for more than a decade, they've done it better than anybody. Go see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and tell him the Baron sent you in, told you to say hello. When we come back, we'll check in with the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, as he joins us from Monmouth Park to talk about the Haskell.
It was a hot, sticky day in mid-May at Pimlico. The suburban Baltimore Thoroughbred plant and a huge crowd was on hand to take in the 81st renewal of the run for the Black-Eyed Susans, the Preakness. It was 1957, and then Vice President Richard Milhouse Nixon was but one of the vast throng in attendance. Mrs. Nixon, Pat, was to present the trophy, the Woodlawn Vase, to the winning connections. There was a field of 7 3-year-olds going postward to contest the event, run over a distance of 1 3/16 miles. It figured to be a battle between three main contestants: Iron Liege, who'd won that year's edition of the Derby a couple of weeks earlier in the Spangles of Calumet Farm; Bold Ruler, who'd gone postward in the Derby as the 6-5 favorite but had run poorly; and Federal Hill, a speed horse who figured to do well on Pimlico's fast track with the sharper turns and short run to the wire. Also in the field were Inswept, who had won the Spalding Lowe Jenkins and the Chesapeake, both at Laurel; Promised Land, who had won the Governor's Gold Cup at Bowie and run second to Mr. Jive in the Gotham, but had finished third to both Bull Ruler and Gallant Man in the Wood Memorial at Jamaica. Nah Hiss was also in the field, but appeared overmatched, although he had won 3 straight allowance races; and Inside Track, who had never faced stakes horses and had been claimed for $7,500 and $12,500. One of the critical factors in the race was the post positions, and the race may very well have been won right at the break from the gate, as it turned out. The inside threesome, Inswept, Nah Hiss, and Promised Land, were notoriously slow breakers. Iron Liege had the 4-hole, Bold Ruler was 5, Inside Track at post 6, and the pure speed in the race, Federal Hill, on the extreme outside. Bold Ruler was a noted fast breaker, and Federal Hill would have to cross over on the entire field to get to the front, if indeed he could. At post time, Iron Liege was 6-5, Bold Ruler 7-5, Federal Hill 7-1. Eddie Arcaro was aboard Bold Ruler, and when the latch was dropped, he shot Bold Ruler to the front, and as expected, Federal Hill was right there with him. Federal Hill had a half length on Bull Ruler as they went to the clubhouse turn, but Arcaro would not let Federal Hill by to gain a clear lead. That forced Federal Hill to lose precious ground and gave Arcaro and Bull Ruler the fence, so to speak, to save real estate. They ran together on around the turn and onto the backside. Midway down the backstretch, Federal Hill gave up the chase, and it was Iron Liege under Bill Hartack laying third, just off the early fractions, waiting to make one big move. As they went to the far turn, Hartack dropped his mount down a notch and began to move on Iron Liege, but Arcaro would have none of that and cranked Bull Ruler up a notch to continue to hold the length and a hop lead. Iron Liege tried again at the top of the straight, but Bull Ruler turned back that challenge as well. Arcaro went to the whip down Pimlico's short stretch and drove Bull Ruler to the wire, a two-length winner. After the race, Arcaro said he had pretty much given Bull Ruler his head, as opposed to keeping him wrapped up as he had done in the early part of the Derby. Hartack offered no excuses for Iron Liege's effort. Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the trainer of Bull Ruler, had used a cunning little trick on Bull Ruler. He had put a piece of string on the bit of Bull Ruler to ease the pressure on his cheek. In actuality, the race had been decided right at the start, for all practical purposes, when Bull Ruler and Federal Hill rocketed from the gate in front of Iron Liege. It all happened on a hot, sticky Saturday afternoon in mid-May at Pimlico, in the 81st Preakness, when Bull Ruler gained sweet revenge for that year's Derby loss.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but you don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way, right away, by owning pieces of multiple horses, which increases your chances of action. West Point has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 25 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit WestPointTB.com. That's WestPointTB.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Taprit has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Taprit's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, fillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Taprit. Look for Taprit yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come toward the top of the stretch, it is Battalion Runner and Irish War Cry. Three quarters in 1:11 and 4, they're into the stretch. Irish War Cry on the outside's got a neck in front. Battalion Runner all out, second on the inside, four lengths back to Cloud Computing. Irish War Cry's in front because they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runner's not going with him. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial under Rajiv Mirage. A four-length score over Battalion Runner. Cloud Computing was third and True Timber was fourth in a final time of 1 minute 50.91 seconds.
That's Larry Colmus with the call of the Wood Memorial. Three starts back for Irish War Cry. That was this past April, a big, big win for the three-year-old son of Curlin. He came back to finish 10th in the Kentucky Derby and 2nd in the Belmont Stakes behind Taprit. And this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, Irish War Cry will go postward as the likely favorite in the $1 million Haskell Invitational at Monmouth Park. Going to be joined in just a moment by the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, as he has made his way to New Jersey. We'll get a preview of Irish War Cry and all those contenders, but do want to welcome everybody back to the program here. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Many miles north and east is where we find the pontiff. JT, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Well, it was quite eventful. I'm a little upset I didn't get a Miss Temple City rejoin. I guess you're kissing up to Jessica Bedard with the Irish War Cry Curlin theme. Huh?
Yeah, Miss Temple City also in action. And, you know, it's not often that you get a horse like Miss Temple City who might be somewhat overshadowed on that card. But I guess that's the case when you have a $1 million grade one and you have some of these horses that we're going to see like Irish War Cry and McCracken and even the undefeated Timeline coming back in the Haskell.
Yeah, it's a fantastic race. It's going to be, I think, my 10th Haskell in a row. So seen some fantastic horses win over the years. But this race is very deep. A lot of horses have a chance in there. Not as big a field as we usually get, but just absolute quality from top to bottom.
Well, Irish War Cry is the hometown hero, a New Jersey bred. He's the reigning 2016 New Jersey bred champion, two-year-old male. Were you surprised, though, that he would be made the morning line favorite or no?
Not really. I mean, he's an accomplished horse, very talented, and he's been training super. If you follow social media, you've seen a lot of his works and pictures of him training, and he just looked a picture of health, looked like he's coming up to the race great. And, of course, Graham Motion, you can't get much better than that.
No, and you talk about the depth of this race. It is a very, very contentious race. Just a seven-horse field, but the second favorite is Timeline, who, quite honestly, a lot of people may not be familiar with because this isn't a horse that we saw in the Triple Crown races. He ran in the Peter Pan. He won that race. He won the Pegasus at Monmouth last time out, which is the local prep for the Haskell. The horse is 4 for 4. He has plenty of early speed. This is a racetrack that should suit a horse like Timeline.
Yeah, well, he showed that last time out in the Pegasus. He won by 3. He got a 107 Brisnet speed figure. That's amazing. His late pace figures are good as well, so he's not just a one-trick pony. He's a formidable foe, and I think a lot of people, you're right, may dismiss him because he hasn't been on television a lot. But today is, or tomorrow, rather, is going to be his day in the sun, and if he pulls it off, everybody's going to know who Timeline is. But he's got his work cut out for him. There's good horses in the race. McCracken, a horse that a lot of people know and follow. He's another one that's coming up to the race good, and we'll see how he runs for Ian Wilk. Ian's horses have been running very good lately, and he looked sharp in his comeback race, so he's a horse we have to reckon with as well.
We're going to hear from Ian Wilkes and from Graham Motion coming up later in the program, so make sure that you stay with us for those interviews. They joined Big A, Anthony Stabile, on Express Bet Radio yesterday. McCracken, you're right. He's a horse that has been so, so good. You and I were on this horse early in the season, Jude. We thought he was the real deal. And I don't think he's done anything to really discourage us from thinking that way. But now he has to prove that he can show up on the big stage tomorrow.
Well, racing's changed so much, and it's a game of what have you done for me lately. you know, people used to latch onto a horse and they'd latch onto him for life, but now there's a lot of people that jump ship the minute a horse gets beat. McCracken had a little rough patch, and a lot of people got off of him. But he came back and looked good at Churchill, and now, he's coming up to this race in good shape. Ian, fine trainer, and, I think you have to certainly consider him as a major player in this race. But like I said before, top to bottom, I mean, everybody's got a chance in there. You can make a case for every horse.
Yeah, Battle of Midway coming in from the West Coast for Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer. This is a horse that looked good winning the Grade 3 Affirmed last time out. Of course, he won as a heavy favorite. He won the way he was supposed to that day. But all you have to do is look back to the Kentucky Derby performance when he was third and a very game third that afternoon.
Yeah, it was a good effort, and his race in the Affirmed was basically running against the clock. There wasn't much competition. Matter of fact, he went off 10 cents on the dollar, so that tells you something. But he's got a lot of talent. He ran the best speed figure of his life last time, a 100 in the Affirmed, and so he's certainly a contender. And then you got Gervin on the outside. How about poor old Gervin? You know, he had that bad foot going into the Kentucky Derby. He didn't run so hot. But then he came back against IRAP in the Ohio Derby, got beat and nose in a really hard-fought stretch battle. And then IRAP came back and won again. So, you know, you got to consider Gervin as a contender, too.
How about Practical Joke? 4-1 on the morning line for Chad Brown, who has just been red hot as of late. What do you do with Practical Joke?
Well, he's a horse that distance has always been a question for him. This race is a mile and an eighth around two turns. You know, he won at Belmont last time, the Dwyer going a mile, but that's a one-turn race. So I'm a little skeptical about him at a mile and an eighth, two turns. But, you know, his form is good. He's a millionaire. He's made $1.2 million. So, Chad Brown, as you say, is hotter than grandma on a Saturday night. So it's just one of those things where you have to, you know, look at him for sure, probably use him, in your tries and stuff. But I don't know if I'd go out on a limb for a win bet on him.
Well, the only horse we haven't touched on yet, by the way, talking with the Pontiff of the Pick Four, you know his voice. That's Jude Feld here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The only horse we haven't touched on, JT, is the longest shot in the seven-horse field, according to the morning line, and that is the Steve Asmussen-trained Hence, who last time won the Grade 3 Iowa Derby. Is there any scenario that you see playing out where Hence could be the one having his picture taken afterwards?
Well, you know, there's a lot of speed in this race, and if they go really fast up front, Hence is a horse that can finish. Sometimes he gets way too far back in his early races, and we all know Monmouth's more of a speed-favoring track. But if there's a hot pace, I would think Hence would have a little bit of a shot at least of being in the money. And it's a million-dollar race. The second and third place checks aren't too shabby, so I can see why they're running him in there.
Yeah, and a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic division, so why not try to punch your ticket in a race like the Haskell? Of course, we'll probably see many of these horses come back in the Travers Stakes later this month at Saratoga, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's what everybody's looking at. It's a nice spacing, and the Travers is going to be ultra tough. Nothing new there, but it's a good idea to watch this race. Even if you don't bet on it, it's good to watch it and see what happens down the road when they hit Saratoga.
What else is happening at Monmouth on Sunday? It's not just the Haskell. That'll be the headline event. But I know, what, six stakes races and five of those are graded?
Yeah, it's an amazing card. They've got a lot of nice horses running. Of course, I'm going to be watching the matchmaker. My brother's horse, Miss Temple City's in there. She's really, on paper, looks like there's only one horse to beat, the Chad Brown-trained Wakila. But Miss Temple City won three grade ones last year, and you know, she's certainly the class of the race. She's been training good, and you'll hear more about her from Graham. I don't need to wax poetic about Miss Temple City. I'm sure he'll tell you more about her.
Yeah, she's just so, so good. Looking forward to seeing her hopefully get back on track after that trip to Royal Ascot. We'll see if she can redeem herself and in a spot that, as you said, on paper, it looks like she just lays over that entire field.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice group of fillies, but Wakila is a really staunch competitor, and it's those two and everybody else in the matchmaker. But hey, it's a good race. You finish in the top three, you get a breeding season. It's an interesting concept, and really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I was so excited that I don't get to watch her run very often, but I get to watch her tomorrow, and it's going to be fun to be there.
For people, JT, who have never had the privilege to go to Monmouth Park the way you and I have on several occasions, what is it about Monmouth that just makes it a special place to go racing?
Well, it's got a history of being nice to the patrons. Back in the 60s when Tom Ainslie was writing handicapping books, he talked about Monmouth Park and how the lady at the drink stand brought lemons from home to put in the iced tea. I mean, it's just a place where they take care of you. Everybody seems to be having a good time. It's a relaxed atmosphere. It's a really pretty track. There's plenty of places to sit and to watch the races. I like to wander around and head down to the paddock and look at the horses. I guess that's the old horse trainer in me, but it's just really easy to get around. And the horses are close to you most of the time. It's not like when you're at Belmont Park, the horses look like ants. You know, here they come out of the paddock, they go in the tunnel, they're on the track, they're right up close to you. And it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a carnival atmosphere sometimes, too. They have a lot of food trucks and events for the fans. So it's just an enjoyable day out. And the abbreviated schedule, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing, means it's in demand. So they have good crowds. I'll tell you, New Jersey racing fans, there's nothing like them. They are very loyal to their racetrack.
All right, let me put you on the spot before I let you go. Your fans will be very disappointed if I don't ask you, who do you think is going to win the Haskell, your top pick?
Oh, well, that's a really tough question. I mean, who I would bet on, and you know, I think depending on the prices, I like McCracken, I like Irish Warcry, I like Timeline, and those are the three that I'm going to look at. I may not even bet the race. I know that's kind of chicken to say, but I mean, I think it's pretty tough, and there's not a lot of difference to make. So whoever of those three is the biggest number, that's probably who I'll bet if I bet the race. I might play the pick four or something because I got Miss Temple City. I'll probably single her, and then use all three of those in the pick four.
He's the pontiff of the pick four, Jude Feld. He's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. JT, you and I will be back together again next Saturday on this program when we host it live from Saratoga as we get people ready for the Whitney, which is part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series. Looking forward to that and looking forward to a great weekend of racing, including that Haskell Invitational. Go out there, enjoy it tomorrow, and I'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good. I'm looking. The only drive I like to make is the one to Saratoga from New Jersey. 11 hours last night. 11 hours in pouring rain. It was really ugly.
Brutal. Brutal.
I went to bed at 3, and the dogs woke me up at 6:30, so what can I tell you?
Yep. Hey, it's Haskell weekend.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right. I'm going to have fun no matter what.
All right, JT. We'll talk to you next week. The pontiff of the pick four. And we'll see. It's a tough race up there on the Jersey Shore tomorrow, but the three-year-old championship still up for grabs, and that race, no doubt, will certainly play into it. And post time for the Haskell Invitational, 5:47 Eastern time. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, it's your Fasig-Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week. I'll be joined again by the Big A, Anthony Stabile from New York, as we take a look at the Grade 2 Bowling Green. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Undefeated in sprint competition, Eclipse champion Run Happy captured 3 Grade 1 victories and set blistering speed records at both Keeneland and Saratoga. In the Breeders' Cup sprint, he dominated the world's fastest runners, going 6 furlongs in a record-breaking 108 and change. The only horse nominated for 3 Eclipse Awards, Run Happy was crowned champion male sprinter, all the while racing 100% drug-free. Champion, millionaire, record breaker, Run Happy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No, seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crops still to come.
Vickers in trouble!
By Jack and the Ascendancy Light!
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup.
Gio Ponti adds the million to his grade one collection.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
$3 million.
Turf.
Little Mike now to seize the lead as they make their way toward the top of the stretch.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
Nothing like turning the Keeneland Lawn into your personal playground. It is all Teppan to win the Coolmore, Jenny Wiley.
And it is time for your Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week. And we focus this morning on the Grade 2 Bowling Green, which comes up later today at Saratoga. It is the race preceding the Jim Dandy. It is 1 3/8 on that inner turf course. 5:40 Eastern is the post. You have a field of 7 set to go. And Ascend for trainer Graham Motion, 8-5 on the morning line. He's the 8-5 favorite off of a 27-1 upset of the Grade 1 Manhattan a few weeks ago at Belmont Park. And to help me break down this race, let's welcome back in the Big A, Anthony Stabile from Saratoga. Big A, what do you think? Is it Ascend and everybody else, or is this a little more wide open than the morning line might look?
I'll tell you, Baron, I think this race is a little more wide open than it looks on paper. I know Ascend was very impressive winning the Manhattan in his graded stakes debut, but he had a great trip that day, and some of the others did not. So can he get another trip like that? Sure. But, you know, it's a little different at 30-1 than it is at 8-5 up here at Saratoga. So, yeah, I think it could be a little different story today.
How about the horse that was third behind him in that Manhattan upset? That's number 4, Sadler's Joy, 3-1 on the morning line. This is a 4-year-old son of Kitten's Joy, Tom Albertrani, the trainer. What do you make of his chances?
Yeah, you're reading my mind. This is a horse in Sadler's Joy, Mike, that I have been high on since day one, literally day one. Always saw a lot of promise in this horse. And, you know, I think the 1.25 really is just too short for him. And I know that sounds ridiculous to say, especially when most of our races here in this country are run up into 1.125. But that 1.25 really just not his trip. He gets it today. He gets 1.375. I think he's even more effective going 1.5. But the 1.375 should suit him well. He's won at Saratoga. He has a win at the distance. You know, the problem, again, And horses like Saddler's Joy, and you know this, they're a slave to the pace. And if he doesn't get something to run at, he's overcome slow paces, but he's obviously a lot more effective when he gets a fast pace. So they got to hope they cook in front of him. Maybe Frank Conversation shows some speed today coming in from California. Maybe Hello Don Julio from Post 6 goes out there and then tries to set a little bit of a pace on. But he's overcome slow paces in the past. I would just like to see a little faster one for him.
Hello Don Julio. Great name for a racehorse. And, boy, I don't know. Hello Don Julio. Shouldn't it be Hola Don Julio? We're going to be really proper here.
You got to talk to El Potro about that. But yeah, I think Hola Don Julio would sound a little better.
Well said. Number one, bigger picture, 7-2 on the morning line for Mike Maker, a horse that comes in off of a big win in the Grade One United Nations.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of a dressed up Grade One. I think the only other Grade One horse in there was Beach Patrol, who just frankly didn't show up in the United Nations. You know, if the real Beach Patrol showed up, that thing would have been over. He just didn't show up. Bigger Picture ran very well. And look, he's a horse that's improved throughout the last year and a half or so. Hard to knock a horse that wins at 40%, 10 for 25 in his career, getting ready to cross that million-dollar earnings mark. He'd get very, very close to it if he can pull this off this afternoon. But again, you know, I feel like that Grade One was dressed up a little bit last time out, and he's going to have to pull another good trip. They're not going to go 46-4 in here. I can almost guarantee you that.
All right, that Grade 2 Bowling Green, part of our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage. Later this afternoon, coverage beginning 4:30 Eastern. You'll hear the Bowling Green. You'll hear the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt, and you're going to hear that Grade 2 Jim Dandy and the showdown between Always Dreaming and Cloud Computing. If you're just joining us, that coverage this afternoon, Sirius 132, XM 201. That's a channel change. Sirius 132, XM 201, starting at 4:30 Eastern. And you can also tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Big A, we're going to get to a short break. Get ready for hour number two. When we come back, you'll be joined live in Saratoga by Justin Nicholson of Equestricon. And it's a big second hour. We're going to tell you all about it next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The inaugural Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase takes place Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. An exciting addition to the Fasig Tipton sales calendar, the Turf Showcase is the only yearling sale in North America exclusively for horses with turf appeal. Did you know that nearly 7,000 races were run on turf in North America in 2016? And more than 40% of graded stakes this year will be turf races. The demand is growing, so don't miss your chance to buy a yearling with true turf appeal. Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. Visit FasigTipton.com.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali, free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Laperoux aboard.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you with us here this morning. Everybody tuning in coast to coast on Sirius 219, XM 206. All of you tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And, of course, streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Busy first half of the show. Really fun interview with Anthony Bonomo and Vinny Viola. They joined the Big A, Anthony Stabile, on site at Saratoga. The Derby-winning owners having a little fun this morning and talking about what it means to them to have a Kentucky Derby winner. Very, very special. The Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, is on site at Monmouth Park this weekend for the Haskell Invitational. He joined me in the first half of the show as well to preview that Haskell, that Grade 1 race coming up tomorrow afternoon, and then our Fasig-Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week just a few minutes ago, taking a look at the Grade 2 Bowling Green. If you missed any portion of the show, head back over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check us out there and check out podcasts of all of our programming, not just on our website, but also Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. It's easy. You simply click, listen, and listen at your leisure. Well, our poll question of the day, at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, goes back to Arrowgate's disappointing performance last week in the San Diego and that upset at odds of 1 to 20. And our poll question, which you can vote on right now or share your opinion right now, is what is the greatest upset in thoroughbred racing history in your opinion? Now, there have been many, and I know that. There have been huge long shots to win races. Arkong comes to mind in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Haven't seen anybody vote for Arkong yet, but that's certainly one. A few responses. Onion's defeat of Secretariat in the 1973 Whitney. For me, it will always be California Chrome losing the Belmont. I needed him to win for a pick three, pick four, and pick six. Okay, well, that certainly counts if he was on your ticket. Upset defeating Man of War, that would be one. And another listener saying that in my lifetime, American Pharoah losing the Travers would be maybe the biggest upset. So how about for you? What is the biggest upset in thoroughbred racing history? Let us know now at HRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Going to go back up to the Big A in just a moment, because he is standing by with Justin Nicholson of Equestricon, that conference coming up in Saratoga, August 13th to the 15th. And it is billed as horse racing's premier convention, and we are proud to be the official radio partner of Equestricon 2017. But before we get there, want to wish our colleagues at HRN and Espanol, that's right, our Spanish broadcast division, a very happy birthday. Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma have hosted that show for exactly 1 year now. And it was last August at Saratoga, Jim Dandy Day, that we launched HRN and Espanol. And we can't thank everybody enough who has supported that network. If you're looking for Spanish content, horse racing content, every Saturday you can tune into Hablando de Abismo on HRRN and Espanol.com. That's right. You can stream us worldwide through that website, HRN and Espanol.com. Hablando de Abismo, presented by Gulfstream Park. And our thanks to Gulfstream for all of their support of HRN and Espanol over the past year. So happy birthday, HRN and Espanol. 1 year ago is when we launched it, and a very special day indeed. All right, let's head back to Saratoga and check in with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Big A, how about this? 16 days, 14 hours, 52 minutes, and 20 seconds away from Equestricon 2017.
Why am I not surprised, Mike, that you, of all people, have the... I'm going to get you a countdown clock one of these days to put up at the homestead down in Kentucky.
Hey, thank God for the internet and for the Equestricon.com website, because that's exactly where they have that time listed.
Well, I'm not surprised, because everyone involved with Equestricon, including our guest right now, Justin Nicholson, have the T's crossed and the I's dotted. That I can tell you for sure. They were smart enough to put a pretty good-looking guy and a pretty darn good handicapper into the first panel on Equestricon. I'll be kicking off the show on the handicapping panel. And Justin Nicholson, one of the co-founders of Equestricon, nice enough to join us now for a few minutes. Justin, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
A year ago, I remember that a little A, Acacia Courtney, was very proud to be rocking her Equestricon hat. She gave me a little sneak preview the day before the press conference. And that Friday, it was almost a year ago. Can you believe that it was almost a year ago, and now we're Barron's countdown aside, we'll just call it 2 weeks away from the event.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty amazing. I mean, it feels both like 10 years and 10 minutes. I mean, it's, you know, we've we've come a long way in planning something that, you know, I mean, it was in our heads, and a lot of the ideas were on paper, but you know, when we announced it to the world at basically the end of the Saratoga meet last year, you know, we were taking a bit of a leap and hoping people would come with us, and you know, I think we can say we've come that far. You know, I think we have about 100 organizations on board in different ways, as you know, sponsors, exhibitors, etc. You know, we have I think 100 to 150 kind of panelists and appearances. I mean, it's a big scale event, and you know, we're really thankful for everybody who's kind of taken the chance on us.
Are you blown away by the response you guys have gotten, considering this is the inaugural EquestriCon?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we certainly hoped that, you know, if we kind of put a canvas out there that people could kind of put their mark on, that's what would follow in the time that came. You know, we started making the phone calls, and I think people got a comfort level with us that you know, we're for real. We're going to put a lot into this, and you know, we've had one after another be willing to come on board.
For people out there that have business ideas, any kind of dreams, you, Catherine, Dan Tordman, you guys are living proof that there's no such thing as dreaming too big, because this essentially came about from simple racing chats on your porch.
Yeah, no, that was the background. I mean, it's funny enough, the timeline literally was, you know, we met Dan in person for the first time. I think it was January 2015. We went to the Keeneland January sale. Just kind of, you know, him as ABR person, kind of reaching out to people in the industry, and we were running 90 North, the partnership, and so we connected, and we went to the sales, and, you know, he kind of, after that couple days, just floated an idea to us, and you know, I think he was surprised that we kind of jumped on it, but suddenly we were off and running, and it's been, you know, as you said, it's been conversations on the porch, conversations on the phone, it's been, you know, hustling and so forth, but yeah, it went from nothing to hopefully something very big.
What do you, with all the hard work and all the time and all the labor you've put in, what are you looking forward to the most?
I've gone a few different directions on this. There's a part of me that's like, you know, I sat the other day and we looked at, you know, the kind of registrations and all the people coming in for this. I had a moment of like, this almost feels like our wedding. You know, it's like all the people we care about and we're excited to see, they're all just kind of coming to this place that we've worked to set up. We actually got married at home, so it was especially that feeling for us, because we had 150 of our friends come and, you know, spend the day. So a little bit of it's just seeing everybody, which I think is awesome. But no, I mean, I think the real gratification will hopefully come, you know, when we see the bunch of people come through there and you know, enough of them have an experience where they say, look, I now see racing, you know, more in depth than I ever did before. And hopefully that'll be in anecdotal conversations and surveys and whatever it is. And we get to say, look, this was rewarding because it really reached the people we were trying to reach. And I hope that's where we are in a week or two, a couple weeks.
You know, we say this a lot, the term, there's something for everyone. But this literally, if you are a horse racing fan, if you are a horseman, if you have any connection to thoroughbred racing, there really is something for everyone at EquestriCon.
Yeah, and that's no accident, in the sense that, I mean, when we, you know, when we did start these conversations in that January a couple of years ago, funny enough, actually, Katie sent me an email. It was an email that we had sent to each other in January of 15 or whatever it was. And there was a list of probably 50 to 100 items that were just brainstorming things we could possibly do. And we set out saying, look, if we get 20 of these, we'll be happy. I think 80% of them we've done in some way or another. So it was, you know, three people throwing everything out there and then trying to take it from, you know, is this possible, to actually making it possible. And you know, we have something for you know, people who want to get more knowledge on handicapping, people who want to learn about ownership. People who just want to kind of have fun with some of the ways in which racing can be interactive, you know, naming a racehorse contest, designing silks. There's just something at every level, and you know, we feel like if you come, you know, whatever your level of interest, you'll have even more when you leave.
And literally stuff to do from the ages of 5 to 105.
That was the goal. Yeah, I mean, I can't. off the top of my head think of a segment that we've really missed. It's just a question of, you know, people coming and giving it a shot and hopefully finding what they're interested in.
And we can find all of that information and tickets at Equestricon.com.
Yep, everything is at Equestricon.com, and full schedule of events. You can buy ticket packages there, and, you know, any questions, there's email addresses to reach out to us, and, you know, I think everybody's going to be very excited.
Let me put you on the spot here a little bit.
Shoot.
Did you fanboy over any one response from a racing person that said, yeah, I want to be a part of this?
Yeah, I mean, a few times along the way, I think we've had moments. Honestly, for me, I thought that the coolest moment was getting Nick Luck signed on. I mean, it's just, you know, you have somebody who's you know, coming internationally to come speak at this event. He's going to do a kind of a keynote speech about racing on Tuesday, and he's going to be on a panel as well on international perspectives of racing. But this is a guy who I think is, you know, trying to work in a positive way to increase the image of the sport nationally and internationally. You know, obviously he's on the biggest broadcast here because he's, you know, an NBC guy. You know, I'm in the horseman world myself, so a lot of the owners, trainers, you know, those kinds of people, I mean, some way or another, I'm a connection or two away from that. I had no thought that we were reaching Nick Luck. I mean, it was something that worked out over the course of kind of meeting people and talking to people. But he wrote a letter for our program. I mean, he's just he really gets it, and it means a lot to us to kind of see people like that who get what we're going for and are fully signed on to the mission.
Do you Fitbit or anything like that?
I don't, although I probably, this month, anytime.
Over under, what's the over under on steps for you this month here at Saratoga?
There are going to be some miles, and you know, you add in, you know, we've got three horses on the backside, so we're here in the mornings catching training when we can. You know, the city centers, we rent a house that's a mile from the city center. We're going to be just making lines between, you know, the city center, the track, and the house we rent. But, you know, all worth it, in my opinion. We'll hopefully get where we're going.
The first ever fan-centric horse racing convention, Equestricon, comes your way in just 2 short weeks. I'm sure Mike Penna, when we throw it back to him, will give us an official countdown to the start.
He's got it to the second.
Of course, he has it to, believe me. I'm telling you, Justin, if I ever hit like a big score, like a multi-million-dollar lottery, I'm just going to get this guy a big countdown clock to put in his front yard.
He seems ready for it.
I really am. Justin, thanks for some time this morning.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Look forward to being a part of the handicapping panel and doing all we can to get our great sport out there.
Yeah,
thanks for
appreciate
all you did.
It. Look forward to having you there.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a good time. Justin Nicholson, one of the co-founders of Equestricon. Mike, it'll be a big, big time here at the Old Spa in how long?
16 days, 14 hours, 43 minutes, and 56 seconds.
Hashtag, we always count on you for the countdown, Baron.
Hashtag EQCon17. How about that?
Love it. Love everything about right. it.
Yeah, we are indeed proud to be the official radio partner of the 2017 Equestricon Convention. We will also have an HRN booth at the convention, so make sure you stop by and say hello. We'll have some special HRN giveaways, and you can even sign up to win a trip for two to Barbados. Yeah, that's right, Barbados. You won't want to miss it. Stop by our booth there and say hello and sign up and pick up a nice gift too. And who knows, maybe you're on your way to that tropical paradise with somebody that you care about. So check that all out, and looking forward to being up there. Coming up, you're going to hear from Craig Dato, who is with Del Mar. He will tell us, well, maybe what happened to Arrowgate last weekend, at least tried to figure that out with us. And we'll talk to him about what's coming up later this weekend, later this meet at Del Mar, and what kind of preparations they're making for the Breeders' Cup in November. Should be a fun interview in the next segment. But first, our Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Here's a good one. Queen's Plate winner, the filly, Holy Helena, aiming for the Alabama. That's right. Stronach Stables homebred Queen's Plate winner Holy Helena has settled in at Jimmy Jerkins' Saratoga Racecourse barn and is likely to make her spa debut in the $600,000 Grade 1 Alabama Stakes on August 19th, her trainer said on July 28th. Jerkins added that the Ontario-bred Ghost Sapper filly is expected to work in the coming days. On July 22nd, she breezed a half mile in 50.33 on the Oklahoma training track her first work since she beat males with a 3.5-length victory in the Queen's Plate July 2nd at Woodbine, the first leg of Canada's Triple Crown. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, you can head over to bloodhorse.com. And don't miss any summer racing coverage like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both of those are free. And they're all there at Blood Horse. You can go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download your copy today. All right, Craig Dato set to join me from Del Mar right after this next commercial break. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new greatest stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreads.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other state breds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassick Tifton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Takaful was on his game today. He strolls home. Takaful powers up to a six-length score.
Takaful could not have been more impressive in that allowance score at Saratoga on July 21st, recording a 105 buyer speed figure and now pointing for the Grade 1 Alan Jerkins on Travers Day. That performance by the son of Darley stallion Bernardini makes Takaful your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and Sales Ring Smash. Bernardini won the historic Travers Stakes at Saratoga and sired Travers winners in each of his first two crops. His progeny have won seven Grade 1 races at Saratoga since 2011, more than any other stallion. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They have a quarter of a mile to go and accelerate out here. We're looking at a massive upset. Arrogate is still far, far back in the four spot. And Accelerate has opened up. Accelerate is well cleared to Domworth. Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinosa clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego. Second Donworth, third Cat Burger. Obviously something amiss today with Arrogate. He never fired at all, and Al Huffano was last.
Arrogate, not his day last weekend at Del Mar, but he'll live to fight another day, no doubt about it. Fourth at odds of 1 to 20 in that San Diego handicap. It is a story that has dominated the headlines over the course of the past several days in thoroughbred racing, and rightfully so. And to help us figure out what might have happened that day, we are joined now by Craig Dato, who is Del Mar's Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer. Craig, welcome to the Equine Forum here on HRN.
Well, thank you for having me, but boy, if you're relying on me to tell you what happened to Arrogate, I don't think I'm up to the task.
You know, there's a saying in thoroughbred racing, and I guess in life in general, that there is no bad publicity. And I know that you and I would love to be sitting here today as racing fans talking about Arrogate dominating that race, but it didn't happen. And once again, we're reminded that these horses are not machines, and I'm sure that you were as shocked as anybody to see that performance last weekend.
Yeah, everybody here really thought this was going to be a very easy prep race for him, kind of a paid workout, if you will. But, boy, it was clear to me and the other people I talked to early in the race that he just wasn't happy to be there and just wasn't himself. But we still thought, even at the half-mile pole, he made a little bit of a move. Oh, okay, here he comes. But obviously he didn't get it done. And like you said, there's just no such thing as a sure thing in racing.
Well, I know his next start was supposed to be the Pacific Classic on August 19th. What are you hearing there? Is he still on target for that race?
Everything Bob Baffert is saying right now is, yes, he's definitely running in the Pacific Classic. Now, obviously, between now and then, he'll have a couple of workouts, and I assume they'll be, you know, fast workouts. And I'm sure Bob will evaluate based on those works. But everything we're hearing is that it's a go. So if you want to try to find a silver lining to what happened in the San Diego, is that, you know, if he'd won by 8 lengths, as we all expected him to, maybe there wouldn't be a huge field for the Pacific Classic. But I think now you're going to see some horses lined up to take a shot at him, and maybe we'll have a big competitive field for the Pacific Classic on August 19th.
Yeah, it's a good point. And speaking of big competitive fields, that's kind of been the theme for the Del Mar meet so far, and it looks like that'll continue going forward. And, Craig, you have to be proud about that, because that kind of bucks a trend that we've seen with California racing in recent years, where we've seen a lot of small fields. Not the case here at Del Mar.
No, we've been hovering right around 9 horses per race, which is really, really good. We're thrilled with it. And when you have big fields, you have great handle. And we're up over 3% in handle on track and over 10% on handle overall. So we're just thrilled with the numbers. And we're hoping it'll continue through the entire meet.
What do you think the key has been to bucking that trend and to being able to run big fields? And, you know, of course, as you mentioned, the handle kind of follows. But what's the key been to putting together those big fields?
I think there's a lot of things going on. First of all, I think our racing department has done a great job of reaching out to barns across the country to come out. Tom Proctor is back. You see a couple other. Dallas Keene is back. A few other trainers are back. That helps considerably. I think our racetrack has the confidence of all the horsemen now. It's a very safe track. We brought in the superintendent from Santa Anita to try to make this track as similar to Santa Anita as possible, and he's done a great job. You know, we've had great weather, and, you know, let's be honest, people want to win in front of big crowds, and that's what we offer here. So I think there was a lot of saving up towards the end of June and early July. Horsemen, you know, let's put this guy on the bench and give him a little freshening so we're ready for Del Mar, and that's paying off right now.
Talking with Del Mar's Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer Craig Dato here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Craig, let's focus on this weekend. Coming up later today, you have 2 stakes races, including that Grade 1 Bing Crosby, which is 6 furlongs on the main track, features the return of Breeders' Cup sprint hero Dre Fong. Coincidentally, another horse trained by Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, coming off of a lengthy layoff.
Yeah, you know, again, keeping with the theme, we've got a big field in the Crosby. We've got 11 entered, and DeFrong is the morning line favorite, but, you know, there's some tough horses in here, everything from Big Maher to Kobe's Back, Roy H. It's going to be a competitive run, and where I think DeFrong is the deserving favorite, I think he's got his hands full.
Yeah, and another great betting race, too, not just because of the big field, but because you have a horse like Dre Fong, who is so accomplished.
He's going to be the likely favorite, probably will be. I think he's, what, 5-2 on the morning line. But it makes for an interesting betting race, and that, again, translates into helping the handle too.
Absolutely right. And when you have big fields, you got big carryovers. We certainly had a couple of those early on, and our jackpot, Pick Six jackpot, continues to grow. So far, so good. We're happy with what we've seen on the track.
How about tomorrow? Two more stakes races, and the highlight being the Grade 1 Clement L. Hirsch, mile and a 16th on the main track. You get that great showdown between Val Dori and Stellar Wind. So even though this isn't one of the bigger fields that we've seen this meet, it is loaded with quality.
Certainly is. To see if Stellar Wind can defend her title here. But again, Val Dori has been a great rival, and we're excited to see what goes down on Sunday tomorrow. You know, sometimes in a pick six sequence, people like a free square, so it's strange. Sometimes if you have a smaller field in there with a logical single or maybe a couple horses, you think that might hurt your pick six handle, but sometimes it actually helps it. People see it all of a sudden as a pick five, so they go a little more aggressively. So we'll see how that plays out on Sunday.
What other types of wagers can people look forward to if they're playing Del Mar, not just locally on track, but for those of our listeners who are listening all over the world here this morning? What other wagers can they look forward to, and what things can they look forward to coming up later in the meet?
Well, when it comes to wagering, one of our most popular wagers is the early pick five, which is a 50-cent bet, which the bettors really like because they can get plenty of coverage, and also has a very low 14% takeout, which is extremely popular with the bettors. So our early pick five does very, very well. In addition, our late pick four does extremely well, one of the biggest in the country. And something else we instituted last year that's become very popular is we have a 50-cent trifecta. And again, players really have gravitated to that bet because you can get so much coverage in your vertical bet with only a 50-cent increment. So people have really enjoyed it.
And I know if people are coming out to Del Mar, then they're going to enjoy some food trucks and some of the different food festival specials that you're going to have going on there this weekend too.
Absolutely. Today is food truck day, where we have over 40 food trucks from all over Southern California will be here, which is a good time. People like that. And then pretty soon here, we have some big concerts coming up. We've got a big country show with Billy Currington. We've got a hip-hop show with Ludacris the next week. And then we have a reggae show a couple weeks later with Slightly Stupid. So I like to say we have something for everybody here. We've got the great racing for the serious race fans, but for the people who have never been to the track or only come once or twice, we try to lure them in here with other reasons like concerts and food festivals. And then once they get here, it's our job to try to turn them into race fans.
I'll put you on the spot. Do you have a favorite food at the food trucks?
I do. I like the lobster grilled cheese. That's my advice. That's my tip of the day.
Can't go wrong with the lobster grilled cheese. Craig Dato joining us from Del Mar here on HRRN. Craig, how about the Breeders' Cup? Let's look ahead to that for just a couple of minutes here. The Breeders' Cup coming to Del Mar for the first time, November 3rd and 4th. Of course, we will be there as the exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup. Can't wait to get out there. It's such a great location. And an interesting choice, considering the fact that Del Mar isn't your typical type of venue that you see the Breeders' Cup go to. But we saw it go to Keeneland a few years ago, and it worked out pretty well. Can't wait to see it at Del Mar.
Well, thank God for Keeneland, and thank God that Keeneland did such a great job, because that really took the pressure off of us, a smaller venue, you know, a venue that can't handle 100,000 people, that we can handle the Breeders' Cup. As I said, we will be copying a lot of the Keeneland playbook, so to speak, as far as parking and ingress and egress, and we're really excited about it. Now, the reason we've never hosted in the past was simply that our turf course wasn't wide enough. Our turf course could only handle 10, and the Breeders' Cup mandates that you can run 14. So about 3 years ago, we spent $5 million and widened our turf course, so we got to the point where we can run 14. Right when that happened, we went and pitched the Breeders' Cup Board of Directors, and we were given a chance here. And I know I'm biased, obviously, but I think this is going to be a spectacular Breeders' Cup, not only for what's going to happen on the track, but also what's going to happen around the city. This is not the Breeders' Cup where you roll in on Thursday for racing on Friday, Saturday. This is the Breeders' Cup where you come in on Monday and you enjoy all the activities that we're going to plan for our fans as part of the Breeders' Cup Festival. We're going to have music festivals, food festivals, golf tournaments, even a world poker tournament, a world poker stop here. So we've got about 25 different events taking place from the Saturday before all the way until Friday and Saturday to entertain our out-of-town guests. And an interesting statistic, looking at the ticket sales, about 72% of those people who've bought tickets for the Breeders' Cup this year are from outside of Southern California. So the world is really coming here. And, you know, we've got the hotels and the restaurants because this is a resort city we live in here. So we're ready. We can handle the crowd. And we are so looking forward to it.
Well, and going back to something you and I touched on earlier, the bigger field sizes and attracting more horses to Del Mar this meet, I guess with the Breeders' Cup coming there and having so many Breeders' Cup winning your in races on the very same track they'll contest the Breeders' Cup, that has to help too. It has to help bring in more horses for those winning your ins that you're going to run later this meet too.
I would certainly think so, and it goes back to what we talked about with Arrogate. Now that Arrogate showed that he can be beat on a given day, I'm hopeful that we get some shippers from the East Coast who, A, are looking for the win and you're in bonus, but B, just want to get a race over the track before November 4th. So we'll see what happens, but we're certainly hoping we're going to see some shippers here later in the meet.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's Craig Dado. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer with Del Mar. Things are rolling out there on the West Coast. And make sure if you're playing Del Mar, you take a look at all those special wagers that Craig talked about just a short time ago. Craig, can't thank you enough for all your support of what you do for us here on the network. We can't do it without you, my friend, and really appreciate it. And can't wait to get out there and enjoy the Breeders' Cup.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. Anytime.
All right. And Craig Dado, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion, and you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com.
And again, my thanks to Craig Dado for that interview, and a lot of great things happening there at Del Mar for sure. When we come back, you're going to hear from trainers Chad Brown, Graham Motion, and Ian Wilkes, and I'll rejoin the Big A, Anthony Stabile in New York, and we will talk about the Haskell and the Jim Dandy. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com. Adina Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings. Fort Larned, brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Maryland is a Hall of Fame state. Once again, Maryland boasts Hall of Fame connections with four 2016 inductees firmly rooted in the state. Pillar of the Turf, William Woodward Sr., 1875 Preakness winner Tom Ogletree, former Maryland horse editor Raleigh Burroughs, and jockey Ramon Dominguez in the contemporary category. Maryland, we've got the horses, the horsemen, and the history. With the current upswing in our breeding and racing industry, it's the place to be. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breads. And don't forget, this year's Maryland Million Day is Saturday, October 21st.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events. You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch!
coming into the final furlong. Classic Empire. Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire digs in. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness. Senior Investment was third, and Always Dreaming finished near the rear of the field. So it is Javier Castellano getting the Preakness with Cloud Computing just over Classic Empire in the Preakness Stakes.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Cloud Computing winning the Preakness Stakes. Larry Colmus had the call that afternoon, and Cloud Computing will get a showdown, a rematch, with Derby winner Always Dreaming, who he defeated in that Preakness Stakes. That rematch will take place later today at the Spa in the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, and you will hear it exclusively on radio with us here on the network beginning at 4:30 Eastern time. That coverage 4:30 to 6:30 Eastern. For those of you tuning in this afternoon on Sirius XM satellite radio, you will need to do it on Sirius 132 and XM 201. That's Sirius 132, XM 201, starting at 4:30 this afternoon. Make a note of that, and remember, you can always join us with our live streaming worldwide on our website, on your computer or mobile device at horseracingradio.net. Well, Cloud Computing is trained by Chad Brown, and Chad Brown is going to have a very busy weekend. He has horses not just at Saratoga with the Jim Dandy later today, but he's also going to be running a couple of live horses in the Haskell tomorrow at Monmouth. And yesterday, Chad took the time to visit with our Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio, and Chad started by talking about whether the Jim Dandy or Travers would play a bigger role in the three-year-old championship picture.
The Travers should be a lot more of a settling point. I'm very confident going into tomorrow, and you know, I hope our horse wins. But regardless of who wins, I think a race like the Travers and even onto the fall, which it races like the Pennsylvania Derby, which is now grade one again, and against older horses, potentially one of these three-year-olds pops up and wins one of the major races in the fall for older horses. I think those carry a lot more weight. But that said, you know, the Derby winner versus the Preakness winner is a big matchup, and whoever comes out on top, at least momentarily, will probably be at the head of the division again.
All right, Chad, let's go down the shore. Practical joke, four wins around one turn, winless around two turns. You had said after the Derby that maybe the middle distances were for him. Was his Dwyer that impressive to you that you felt he had one more chance to prove himself around the two turns?
That's exactly it. I thought the way he finished the Dwyer was very impressive. And after talking to Joel, we decided, you know, we think this horse actually can get the mile in an eighth, give him one more try, especially if the race sets up for him. You know, I'm not sure it will, but it looks like there's just enough speed in there where it could. Haskell's a very prestigious race, chance at a grade one and $1 million purse. And considering how well he's doing, it's hard to leave him in the barn.
When you decided not to run Cloud Computing in the Belmont Stakes, I think a lot of people assumed that you were going to run Timeline. He had just won the Peter Pan, going the mile in an eighth year at Belmont, a traditional prep for the Belmont Stakes. But you decided to not go that route, went to the Pegasus instead, and obviously rewarded you with a fantastic run in the Pegasus. He's 4-for-4, but a lot of people don't know too much about this horse. Just talk me through him getting that start midway through, you know, in early in March, and where he's come since his maiden race.
He's a horse we've always thought a lot of. Like Cloud Computing, this horse didn't run it too with some minor physical issues, so we just stopped on him and gave him a bunch of time. Horse came back this winter down in South Florida training with us and got right back on track, showing us all the ability he showed us at two in his works. Got a late start, but he's done nothing wrong. As you said, he's undefeated. I decided to skip the Belmont because I just don't think the horse is a mile and a half horse. I don't think he'd be effective going that far. So we just stuck to the plan of working towards a grade one at a distance we think he can handle. And the mile and eighth is that distance.
All right, that's trainer Chad Brown talking about his horses in both the Jim Dandy and the Haskell Invitational tomorrow at Monmouth. Anthony, obviously you handled that interview with Chad. He seems extremely confident in a horse like Timeline, maybe the distance being the problem tomorrow, but he thinks a mile and an eighth, as you just heard him say at the end of that clip, is his distance. And then in terms of what we're going to see from Preakness winner Cloud Computing, he told you straight up that the Travers is going to hold more weight than the Jim Dandy, but you have to believe that they're going to be all out here this afternoon.
He seemed really confident, Baron, that Cloud Computing was going to be ready to roll today. I feel like he's maybe up against it a little bit, the way this race is going to set up here at Saratoga today, with Pavel on the front end, Always Dreaming in the Catbird. Maybe Cloud Computing has to do a little dirty work earlier than they would like, where no one's up there. You know, it's not Always Dreaming in Classic Empire duking it out in front of him this time. You would think Always Dreaming is going to be a little off the pace. So I'm thinking that maybe they realize that and hopefully can move forward from a good effort today. I think they're both going to show up today, the Derby winner and the Preakness winner, but maybe he's one that is going to use this more as a stepping stone as opposed to Always Dreaming, who maybe is able to get the leg up in the division here.
All right. Well, in terms of what we're going to see tomorrow in the Haskell, Timeline and Practical Joke both going to the post for Chad Brown. He just talked about each of those individuals, but if they're going to win, they're going to have to beat the morning line favorite, that is New Jersey-bred Irish War Cry, who is trained by Graham Motion. And Graham also took the time to sit down with Anthony yesterday on Express Bet Radio. And Graham started by looking back on the decision to run Irish War Cry in the Belmont following a disappointing run in the Kentucky Derby.
You know, I felt that he came out of the Derby really well. I think for anybody that runs a well-liked horse in the Derby, if they run disappointingly, you just want to get it out of your system, and you don't even want to think about running again in the next few weeks. So my initial reaction was I just didn't want anything to do with the Triple Crown after that disappointing race. But when I saw how well he was doing, and you know, I saw the result of the Preakness, where a horse that we'd run against won it, I just felt, you know, you only get one shot to run in the classics, and he deserved to be in there if he was doing well, so that's what we do. I also felt that it wouldn't interfere with his preparation for the Haskell. We were going to have plenty of time to get over the Belmont race. You know, I think there's been just so much talk about this horse with the Jersey connections, that I think there is a shot he'll go off favorite for perhaps that reason, that he's, I think he's going to have a lot of New Jerseyites behind him on Sunday, and that could be a reason that makes him favorite. But I will say, I mean, I think this race is a tremendous betting race. It's a really even group. It's kind of fascinating that the Derby winner and the Preakness winner have gone to Saratoga, and that's left, you know, the rest of us in a really good betting race in the Haskell, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, very exciting indeed, and it is a good betting race. And Irish War Cry going to take play because he is a New Jersey bred, and he is running in his home state, and he has accomplished so much as a New Jersey bred. We'll see if he can add to his resume later today, Big A, or later tomorrow, I should say.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Mike, the draw, you would think Irish War Cry got the worst of it at the draw. He draws the rail. The two other speed horses in the race, right to his outside, Battle of Midway and Timeline. And then you have the Stalker in the four gate and Practical Joke. And then the three closers are outside. So it's almost like they can line up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 coming out of there conceivably tomorrow afternoon. Look, he got the worst of it at the draw. He's probably going to be the favorite, at the very least, the co-favorite or second choice, I would think. But, yeah, this is a race that Graham has, you know, with all the connections and one of, I think, less than 120 New Jersey breds born 3 years ago. This is a race they've had on the map for a very long time. And you'd have to think that he's going to be primed for a big effort. Like Graham said, and, you know, I wish a lot more conditioners thought that way. Running in a race like the Belmont Stakes, you still have 10 weeks to get ready for the Haskell, the Jim Dandy, in the second half of the year. So, and, you know, you got to be really happy with how he ran in the Belmont Stakes. And Graham was. He did everything right except win it. And you'd think he's up for a big effort tomorrow. I just feel from that post he's going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting from the rail. And, you'd think him and Battle of Midway are going to go set a pretty good pace.
One of his primary rivals in that Haskell figures to be McCracken, who is 5-for-7 lifetime. He's trained by Ian Wilkes, who yesterday began by reflecting on McCracken's last race in the Matt Wynn.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing about it, you know.
coming there from the Derby, I didn't want him to be too anxious. And actually, when he broke just a tad slow, half a step slow, I was actually happy because he switched off, got into his nice rhythm, just got back to what he was doing early on in his career, and just traveled along nice. Because ever since we had that setback at the Bluegrass and that, he was always a little too anxious, a little too much into the race. So I was, for me, watching, I was actually very happy that he just dropped back, sat there, and listened to Brian.
You had two options this weekend. You had the Haskell down at Monmouth, and of course you have the Jim Dandy at Saratoga tomorrow. One of them has the Derby and the Preakness winner. One of them does not, but some would argue that McCracken may be a little more suited to the surface up at Saratoga as opposed to the historical speed bias down at Monmouth. What played the biggest role in the decision to run him in the Haskell as opposed to the Jim Dandy?
One thing, grade one. That was the whole issue. I haven't won a grade one yet. I'm a multiple stakes winner for a horse, you know, with a future to be a stallion. You need a grade one on your resume, you know, just as simple as that, you know. If he'd already won a grade one, I may have went to Jim Dandy. And you know, everyone, $1 million. Yeah, the money's nice, but the grade one for this horse is so much more important right now.
Great answer by Ian Wilkes. Why go to the Haskell over the Jim Dandy? Grade one status. And Big A, I have to tell you, until I listened to that interview, I wasn't aware that Ian hadn't won a grade one yet. That, to me, is somewhat mind-boggling.
No, that was a little confusing. He has. He had a little horse named Fort Larned when the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah,
McCracken
right.
Hadn't won the grade one. And if
correct.
I don't think he can win at Monmouth. But I'll tell you this, Baron. You gotta love his chances if you're a fan, knowing that Ian realizes he's got to get him a grade one. So if you like McCracken tomorrow, I think you could fire away.
Yeah, McCracken, 5 for 7 lifetime, figures to be a major player in that Haskell tomorrow afternoon. All right, time now for your weekly Right or Wrong segment brought to you by Sunrise Stallions. Big A and I debate a couple of the top issues in thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Big A, as Nick Zito would say, right or wrong. Here we go. Number one, a win by Kentucky Derby hero Always Dreaming in this afternoon's Jim Dandy will be enough to lock up the 3-year-old title. Right or wrong?
I believe that's right. You have the Derby and another win over the Preakness winner. I don't think anybody else can do enough. I think it's going to be tough to beat some of the older horses like Arrogate and Gunrunner. I think if Always Dreaming gets it done today, he's the 3-year-old champ.
I'm going to say that's wrong. I just think there's too much racing left. Even if Always Dreaming wins today, yeah, he's the leader in the clubhouse. But if he lays an egg in the Travers, especially if he's beaten by one of the other classic winners, say Cloud Computing or Taprit, I think the race for 3-year-old champion becomes wide open again. So I don't think today guarantees him that 3-year-old title, but it certainly puts him out in front. Then you have the Haskell winner. Let's say it's Timeline or McCracken. I think either one of those two can weigh in. One of them would come back and win the Travers. If they do, I think all of a sudden you're looking at Timeline or McCracken being very much in that discussion.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number two, the Breeders' Cup Sprint winner, Dre Fong, returns to action in this afternoon's Grade 1 Bing Crosby at Del Mar. He is the 5-2 morning line favorite. Big A. How about this? Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert may saddle 2 rock-solid champions in back-to-back weekends and get beat with both. Is that right or wrong?
That's right. I don't think Dre Fong is winning. There's a lot of speed in the air. And I got to tell you, Baron, save Abel Tasman's win, controversial win, in the Culture Club American Oaks last weekend. Things not going well over there. Arrogate ran very poorly. Every horse that won on Belmont Stakes Day has come back with some sort of an issue. More Spirits not making the trip here for the Whitney. Collected, Cupid, you name it. They all have some problems going on right now. I don't know what's going on in Bob Baffert land, but Things are not going well. Save Abel Tasman. I think Griffon gets beat today.
It is somewhat beyond comprehension to think that Bob Baffert would saddle two Eclipse champions in back-to-back weekends and lose both. One, maybe. Both, no way. You would have thought that Arrowgate would have been a cinch to win last weekend. Didn't happen. I don't see it happening two weekends in a row. Could it happen? Yes. Will it happen? No. I say that's wrong. I say Dre Fong returns a winner, takes the Bing Crosby, and Bob Baffert avoids that dubious distinction.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, and that is Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions. Big A, back this afternoon with you, 4:30 Eastern time, as you kick off coverage of the Jim Dandy. Also includes the AG Vanderbilt and the Bowling Green, Sirius 132, XM 201, for those looking to tune in on satellite radio.
Looking forward to it. Talk to you later, HRR Nation.
All right, there you go. That's Anthony Stabile. Join him and Mike Beer again, 4:30 Eastern time this afternoon. Don't forget that Kentucky bred means quality bred, and that's across the globe. Each August, breeders nominate their pregnant mares so that the resulting foals can earn them breeder awards for winning races all over the world. In fact, nearly $140 million has been awarded to Kentucky breeders since 2006. Breeders can earn money by winning maiden special weight and allowance races, stakes races in the U.S. or at Woodbine, graded or group races not only in the U.S. but in England, Ireland, France, or Canada, and grade one races on the Dubai World Cup card, Hong Kong International Day, or Japan Cup Day. Additionally, $200,000 is allocated to the top 20 claiming horses in Kentucky with the most wins. Register your mare with the Kentucky Thoroughbred Breeders Incentive Fund by August 15th for the early filing deadline of just $60 per mare, and be eligible to win breeder awards worldwide. For more information, visit registerkbif.com. We're back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum next, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Kentucky Downs.
Think smart. Ask yourself, what can Sunrise Stallions do for you? Big Brown was the third leading sire in New York in 2016 and currently sits in the same spot in 2017. Last year, Frost Giant had four juveniles sell for $100,000 or more and was recently represented by his first two-year-old winner of 2017. Together, Big Brown and Frost Giant's runners have earned over $2 million in the first half of this year. The answer is simple. Sunrise Stallions puts you in the winner's circle.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepperett and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway stallion Tappet, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Tappet has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Tappet's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, fillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Wrapping up a fun morning, very busy morning, covering a lot of ground, talking about racing in New York, in New Jersey, and in California at Del Mar. Don't forget, one more reminder, our coverage this afternoon kicking off 4:30 Eastern from Saratoga, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt, and the Grade 2 Bowling Green, Sirius 132, XM 201, streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. And if you missed any portion of this show, head back over to our website and check out the podcast. It's there for you to listen to at your leisure, horseracingradio.net, as well as all of our other programming we bring you throughout the week. Our thanks to our special guests this morning. That's Anthony Bonomo and Vinny Viola, who joined the Big A up in New York. Justin Nicholson, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, who was with us from Monmouth Park, and Craig Dato from Del Mar. And our thanks to Chad Brown, Graham Motion, and Ian Wilkes for joining us yesterday on Express Bet Radio. You heard those interviews right here this morning on the Equine Forum. Once again, back this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern. Make sure you join us then, live from the Spa, all part of our Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by VisitBarbados.org. For our producers, Lee Delapina and Sean C., handling our social media. For Anthony Stabile, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next week, and hey, go Steelers.